All right, y'all give it up for Kyle Kegler.
All right, that is exactly how it's done. That is exactly how it's done. Right there, we're just going to take a cue from Nacho Libre and just keep right on going. Hey, this is really fun for me to come. I don't know if any of y'all knew this, but before we started Watermark about 8 or 9 years ago, this is what I got to do. I hung out with high school and junior high kids for the previous 15 years or so before we started Watermark. So it's really fun to be with you guys, and so I hope tonight is helpful for you. I'm going to do something that they tell you never to do when you speak in front of a group, and that is give the application the results of what I want at the beginning. Okay, so I'm just going to do that and give it to you. Then I'm going to kind of fill in the blanks. But my hope for you guys, as we think about this whole deal called baptism, is a little different than the way it looks in Nacho Libre. Okay, it's really twofold. And that is, and as I do this, I really want you guys to kind of be in touch with what God may be saying to you tonight as we kind of talk. And then over the course of the next couple of days, I hope you talk about it with your community. I hope you grab Mike or Braun or Bodie or somebody like that and say, hey, I'm really wrestling with this. What does that mean? What does that look like? I really want to cause a little bit of irritation in your spirit so that you'll really think through this whole idea of baptism. So the first thing is, I hope that a week from Sunday that we have a ton of high school folks who have said, hey, that is the right thing for me to do. And so that Braun and David and Mike and whoever it is that's in the water, there are folks getting baptized. And then you know what my dream is? How many of y'all have been to one of our baptism parties out in the park? I bet a lot of you have, okay? And it's a really fun day. But you know what makes it really cool? Is when somebody jumps in the water and then there are 10 other people that get in the water with them. And so it's mom and it's dad and it's best friends and it's all these people who have had an impact on your walk with Christ. And so if you decide to get baptized, man, I want you to grab 10 people and have them with you when you do that, okay? And then if we've got 15 or 20 of those, that whole pond is going to be full of people who are getting baptized and then those folks who have helped them do that. So that's my first thing. I want you to think hard about if you haven't done that, is the time right for you to do that right now? That's the first thing. The second thing I want you to do is I want you to think about if you're getting baptized, if you want to be baptized, who are the people in my life that don't know Christ that I can invite to be a part of that event? Okay, you guys have the greatest opportunity with your friends, okay, folks that don't know Christ, maybe good people, good moral people, all that kind of stuff, but you've got a great opportunity to say to them, hey, you know what? On Sunday, I am going to get baptized. I would love for you to come be a part of that. And it's a great opportunity for us because it's a big party, right? We're going to feed them. There's bounce houses. It's all that kind of stuff. But in the midst of that, you get to tell your story of what Christ has done in your life. So two things I want you to think about. Is it time for you to be baptized if you haven't? And secondly, who are the people in your world that don't know Christ that you can invite to be a part of that? Okay? Those are the two things. Now, what I want to do is I want to spend a little bit of time unpacking what baptism is and why we should do that. So we're going to turn to if you got your Bibles, we're going to turn to Romans 6. If we can flash that up on the screen, that would be great. And we're just going to look at this really quick. We're going to read this, and I'm going to give you the picture of what baptism is. First of all, the word baptize means to kind of be dipped in. Okay, and one of the cool things when you think about that word, you guys know, you guys ever done that science experiment where you drop a cucumber into the solution and it becomes a pickle? Y'all done that deal? Okay, well, no? Okay, maybe that was back when I was in high school, okay, that we were doing that. Okay, but the basic deal is you put a cucumber in a certain solution with all this sweet stuff in it. You leave it for, I don't know if it's a day or 2 or 3 days, and it comes out a really tasty pickle. Well, what happens is all the juice and everything gets into that cucumber and it changes really what it is. And so that's what the word baptize means, okay, is that everything, God's word, all that kind of stuff gets in you and it changes your nature, okay, is what happens. So in Romans chapter 6, let's read this, verse 3. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Confusing? A little bit, right? Okay, so let me give you the picture of what this whole baptism thing means, okay? You are basically, when you're getting baptized, okay, and it is really fun for Braun and I and David and all those guys to do this, we have got you in the water, and one of the things that we will say to you is that you are baptized into Christ's death. So what you are saying is, hey, I am somebody who understands that I am a sinner and that I need Jesus Christ to pay the price for my sin. Okay? And what we do is you're dead to this old life that you were going to live, and you go under the water, and depending on how bad you've been, we hold you under for that long. We really don't. Okay? So, but we put you down, you're dead to your old life, and then when you come up, you're risen into this new life with Christ. It is a symbol, okay, of something that you have already made a decision on. It's a decision that you have already made. So that's what Romans 6 is saying. When you get baptized, it's a symbol of something that you have already done. So dead to my old life, that old nature that was dominated, okay, by selfishness. And now we're alive, come up alive to this new life in Christ. Does that mean we're perfect? No, it does not mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean you're never going to mess up again. But it means that the core nature of your heart is, I want to do the best that I can to walk with Christ. Okay? That's what baptism is. Okay? It is an external sign of an inward commitment that you have made. Okay, so here is what I want to say to you about that. Okay, why should you get baptized? It seems a little freaky, right? I'm going to go in front of all these thousands of people, and I'm going to get wet from head to toe and all that kind of stuff. So what's the big deal? Why should I do that? Okay, well, there's three really good reasons why you should be baptized. The first one is that Jesus commands us to be baptized. Okay, it is a command in Scripture. Okay, there's a great story in the chapter 8 of Acts. Can we throw that up there for just a second? Look at this. And this is Philip, one of the disciples, right? And he comes across this chariot with an Ethiopian eunuch in it. It says, and he jumps in the chariot with him and says, hey, let me help you understand this. It says, then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this Scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And as they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, key phrase right here, okay? If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, and Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. Okay, it happened instantly. Okay, the eunuch right there trusted Christ. He said, there's a lake. Let's get out of the chariot, and let's go get baptized. Okay, it's something you do as a response to what God has done in your life. So that's the first thing, the reason you ought to do that, because Scripture commands it. It's something that we need to do. And we also know, we won't take time to look at this, but in John 14, 20, it basically says that when you obey God's commands, okay, he gives you a better picture of who Jesus is. So if I want my walk with Christ to grow and get better, I need to obey the things that Jesus says. Our obedience and our intimacy with Christ are tied together. Okay, makes sense? So that's the first thing. Jesus commanded. The second thing I've already mentioned, that's an outward expression of an inner life. And let me just ask you, some of you may not be ready for this. And let me tell you what I've told my girls. I have twins that are 12, about to be 13 this summer. And they have kind of, when they've come to these to our baptism parties, they're like, hey, Dad, that's kind of cool. I want to do that. Can I get baptized? And so I have told them, you know what? I'm not sure that you're ready. Well, why? Why can't I? And I believe in Christ, and I'm like, right. But let me explain something else to you about that. And that is that in the first century, when you became a Christ follower, do you think it was a cool thing to do? It was not cool, okay? And my girls don't understand that being a Christian is countercultural. Okay, they think because they've grown up in a Christian home, they go to a Christian school, they hang out with Christians all the time, that being a Christian is just this easy thing that you just kind of do, and it's just kind of the natural part of life. I imagine if you had an hour and a half or 2 hours with my daughters, you would tell them very different, okay? That being a Christian is difficult, okay? They don't know that yet. And so I want my girls to understand that the decision they make to go all in with Jesus and to get baptized is a counter-cultural decision. And so I want you guys to think about that, okay? As you think about this whole baptism deal, do you understand, okay, what you're doing? That when I go down and I die to my old self and I come up a new Christian, I am saying I am all in following Jesus. And I am saying it in front of the world, in front of 2,000 people or whatever that is that are around that pond that are watching. I am all in. Okay? And if you haven't decided that, great. No problem. Okay? But if you have, the obedient thing to do is to get baptized a week from Sunday. Okay? If you have decided that you are all in with Christ. Now, let me tell you what that does. Okay? I'm not trying to talk you out of baptism, but I just want us to take it seriously, because so many of the folks that I, in Young Life and stuff like that, when I was working there, I had so many folks that got baptized when they were second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, all that kind of stuff, and it meant nothing to them. They did not understand the commitment that they were making. Okay, I want you, if you do this a week from Sunday, I want you to get what it is. I am going all in with Jesus, and I am going to stand up, and I'm going to say it in front of the world. Okay, and you know what that does? That brings an extra level of accountability into your world. Okay, most of you guys are in small groups. It's one of the greatest things you can do is have other people examining your life. But when you take that baptism step, you're publicly declaring, hey, I'm all in with Jesus, and it gives your small community an opportunity, okay, to say, hey, you say you want to be with Christ. What I just saw in you doesn't look like a Christ follower, so how can I love you well and help that part of your life match up? And so what that baptism thing does is it holds you accountable. I'll tell you a story. It happened to me 3 weeks ago. My wife and I have a great marriage, okay, but she holds me accountable. Okay, she completes me as the scripture talks about, okay? And so for the last 15 years that we've been married or so, there has been an issue in our life that I haven't done very well on, okay? I am a proclaimed Christ follower. I love Christ. I love following Christ. I've been baptized, all that kind of stuff. And so there's been this area in our marriage that I just haven't done well in loving her, and it's been a repeated issue, okay? And so finally, a few weeks ago, my wife just said, Kyle, I've lost hope that this is ever going to change in your life. You say you want to follow Christ. We know that what I'm asking you is not unbiblical. It's the right thing to do. Why won't you change? I want a meeting with your boys. Okay, I have 5 or 6 guys that I'm living life with intimately and have been for 5 or 6 years. So you know what happens? All my boys come over to my house one night, okay? And so we're all sitting around the table, and my boys just kind of go, and they say, okay, what's going on, Trish? Tell us the story. And so Trisha says, there's this part of my life that Kyle is not, he's not loving me well. And so they said, well, let me ask you this. How's Kyle doing at spending time with you? Kyle's doing great here. Okay, how's Kyle doing at spending time with the kids? Gosh, he does a great job as a dad, and he's loving my girls well. How's he do about having good conversations with you and engaging you in conversation? Man, that bucket's full. All these buckets are full. How's he doing at providing for the family? Man, he's doing great. So we went through all these buckets, and then we finally get to this last bucket over here, and it's the bucket that you are not dating and romancing me like you used to. Okay. Like, dang, man, she deserves it. I'm desperately in love with my wife. But if these buckets are 3/4 full over here, this one is negative full, okay, the other direction. And so she said, you haven't given this near as much value as I have in my life. And so my boys are sitting there, okay, and they say, hey, big boy, you better get your act together. You say you're a Christ follower. You say you love your wife, okay, but you ain't acting like it. You're not acting like a Christ follower in this area of your life. And so you know what's happened? Every single week for the last 5 weeks since we met, my wife has gotten a phone call every week and saying, how is Kyle doing on this bucket that matters so much to you? Folks, getting baptized makes you accountable, as a Christ follower because it identifies you with a community of people, okay? It identifies you with the Christian church all over the world. It identifies you with Watermark. And it identifies you with your small group of men or women that are in your life that are saying, I am all in with this guy or with this girl. So three things, right? It's a command of Scripture. Okay, it's an outward expression of an inner commitment that you've made. And it identifies you with a body, with a community, and holds you accountable. Okay, those are really the three things that baptism does. And so the last thing I want to talk about here for just a couple of minutes is answer the question another way is, how do you know when you're ready? Okay? And throughout all of Christian history, since the early centuries of Jesus and the disciples, people that really understand three things have been baptized. The first is that you know the facts about Jesus, his life, his death, and his resurrection. And a lot of y'all have heard the gospel time and time again. Right, that God is deeply and desperately in love with us, okay? But because of our sin, we are separated from God. All have fallen short all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so we are separated from a God who is loving and caring, okay? But we're separated. I'll tell you a great story that happened at my house. This is several years ago. I have twins, as I mentioned to you. They used to sleep in the same bed as a queen-size bed, okay? In the middle of the night, we hear this, oh, yuck, nasty. Okay, Trish is sound asleep. I hear all this. I walk in there, and Kelsey has thrown up all over Kaylee. Okay, I mean, just lost it all over her. Okay, I'm talking nastum. Okay, so I walk in there, and I'm like, oh, and I'm sure I said something really bad, okay, when I saw what was going on. Okay, and so I went in there and I kind of separated covers and did all that kind of stuff that I was doing. And so I got Kelsey out of bed, okay? And do y'all believe I love my daughter? I'm crazy about my daughter, okay? Do you think I went up there and just gave her a great big old hug with that stuff on her? I did not, okay? I love my daughter, but I didn't do that, okay? And so that's a little bit of how God is with us, okay? He loves us deeply, but he can't, when we're separated from him, he can't give us this big old hug, okay? Because we got this stuff called sin on us, okay? It's the same thing as what was going on with my Kelsey. And so I picked Kelsey up, okay, right? Put her in the tub, cleaned her off, rolled Kaylee over to another, onto the floor, cleaned the sheets, did all that kind of stuff, put her in bed, and an hour and a half later, we were all good, okay? And that's what God has done with us, okay? We've got this stuff, this vomit called sin all over us, and Jesus' death on the cross, okay, gave us the opportunity to be clean, okay, so that he could snuggle us up again and have an intimate relationship with us. Okay, it's a great picture of the gospel, okay, this intimacy. And so we're separated from God. Jesus came and he died on the cross for our sin, okay? He loves us. And then we've got to, and just because he did that, okay, doesn't mean that everything's okay. We've got to make a faith commitment, a trust commitment to say, God, I am going all in with you. I want you to be the director of my life. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. We have got to make a commitment to get to that place. So throughout all of Christian history, those folks who have been baptized have understood three things. They know the story of the gospel that I just told you. They believe that story is true, okay? And they have placed their trust in that story. Okay, and if you have done that, okay, you believe it, you know it to be true, and you've placed your trust in that, and you haven't gotten baptized, you need to strongly consider that this is the time for you to get baptized. And I don't want you to make that decision in isolation, okay? I want you to make it with your parents. I want you to make it with Braun and with David or whoever your small group leader is, and what does that look like? And I want you to think about who is it that you can have with you and be a part of that.
Okay? Because it's a great chance for you to tell your story to the world so that your friends who don't know Christ can come watch you authentically say, I was a sinner and I'm saved by grace. And now my life's not perfect, but I have this relationship with God that I've put my trust and my faith in. Folks, this is really basic stuff, and a lot of you may really know this. Okay, but I really want to, if you hadn't been baptized, I really want you to pray and think through whether this is the right time for you to do that. Okay, and then think through who can I have be a part of this with me. Okay, I want everybody that's had an impact on me in this process, but then who can I invite that's not a believer to come hang out with me and do this that I get to tell my story to? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word that tells us how to live life. Thank you for how much you love us, so much so that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross. Father, you have called us to obey, and one of those commands is that we would be baptized. Father, I don't want anybody to be manipulated, coerced, do it because somebody else wants them to do it. Father, I want them to do it because it's the right thing at the right time, being led by your Spirit. So, Father, would you move and would you work, Father, and would you glorify yourself in the hearts of my friends here tonight and in these next weeks. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.